Okay, great. Thanks. Will I be able to hear the music? Oh, hey. Sorry about this, folks. This is Jeff. It's Tuesday. What is it? 8th, 9th of the month? I don't know. Listen, I apologize. We had to do a rerun tonight. I am stuck on the road. Could not make it back in time. Stay with us for the program. I will see you tomorrow, and I will be live and kicking. So thank you much for your patience. Take care of yourselves. Enjoy the program. Good night.
Of June 2023. What we're about to share with you tonight was written in 1993 in quite an interesting book, a book I happen to have a copy of. And I'm electing to present this entire portion of the man's book. No, it wasn't Dr. Kelly, but it dealt partially with Kelly. As our website, drkelly.net, and the work that we attempt to do here on Wednesdays is resigned to information and solutions, which are deemed to be of benefit to your health, and specifically the protocols of Dr. Kelly and his cancer treatment program, we're going to share this entire presentation with you. I pray time allows, because this is pretty lengthy. As many of you know, over a quarter of a century period of time, Dr. Kelly, a dentist by training, developed a complex approach to treating many chronic and degenerative diseases, including cancer. And the three main elements of his metabolic program, which we introduced to you at length last year, are nutrition, detoxification, and supplements of pancreatic enzymes. And although the controversial Kansas-born You lost me because I accidentally clicked the button. Controversial Kansas-born practitioner, condemned as a charlatan by the orthodox medical establishment, thousands of severely ill patients sought Kelly's advice, followed his program, many with reported good results. Even to this day, a number of practitioners claim to be using the Kelly regimen, though whether they actually are is open to question. Interest in Kelly's therapy had increased dramatically over the years, largely due to the work of Nicholas Gonzalez, a New York City physician who treated cancer patients in advanced or terminal stages using a modified version of the Kelly program. Now, Gonzalez was a graduate of Cornell University Medical School. Gonzalez undertook a 5-year case study of Kelly's own cancer patients who had done well on the program. And Gonzalez provided a 500-page study, which was prepared under the sponsorship of Robert Good, MD, a PhD, who was then president of Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. And it was widely regarded as the finest case review ever conducted concerning an alternative cancer therapy. That according to a man named Robert Houston, who stated, Gonzalez has given us convincing evidence that diet and nutrition produce long-term remission in cancer patients, almost all of whom were beyond conventional help. Those words from the late Harold Latus, a PhD, a biologist, a former professor at Hunter College, who continued to say that because the cases in Gonzalez's study represented a wide variety of cancers, the implication was that the paradigm had widely applicability to cancer treatment. And what should happen, Latus said, is that ACS or NCI should immediately follow up with a $500,000 study to evaluate the rest of Kelly's cancer patients. But don't hold your breath, he said. The evidence is in, and it is stunning. Kelly is vindicated, he concluded. It becomes interesting. As we've discussed in the past, Kelly, of course, was just ripped open by the mainstream medical community. But the kicker was, if the man was phony, he would not have maintained 30,000 patient records, many of which Dr. Gonzalez went through in his studies. Kelly, you see, held that a root cause of cancer was the body's inability to metabolize, that's to digest and to utilize protein. The person gets cancer because he's not properly metabolizing the protein in his diet, Kelly said. And then to make matters worse, the tumor has such a high metabolism that it uses up much of the food which is eaten. If a person's disordered protein metabolism is not corrected, Kelly continued, it will give rise to more tumors in the future, even if the first one is successfully removed. And this, by the way, is the unfortunate reason why so many seemingly successful cancer operations end up in recurrences a year or two later. The tumor was removed, but the cause, improper protein metabolism, remained. Kelly, you see, linked faulty metabolism to a deficiency of pancreatic enzymes, which he regarded as a fundamental cause of cancer. And he believed that certain pancreatic enzymes, especially those that are proteolytic or protein-digesting enzymes, are the body's first line of defense against malignancy. And this theory stands in marked contrast to conventional medicine, which holds that the immune system, with its natural killer cells, protects people against cancer. As every biology student ultimately learns, the pancreas releases enzymes directly into the small intestine to aid digestion. But Kelly maintained the pancreas also secretes enzymes into the bloodstream where they circulate, reaching all body tissues and killing cancer cells by digesting them. And studies in the clinical literature lend support to this theory, first proposed by Dr. John Beard, a Scottish embryologist working at the turn of the last century. Imbalance of mineral metabolism is another condition that allows malignancy to occur, according to Kelly. He identified mineral imbalance as a root cause of the breakdown of the immune system. Additionally, he said that cancer cells produce immune blocking factors and seem to generate an electromagnetic force field that inhibits the proper response of the immune system. The Kelly Anti-Cancer Program combined and still combines therapeutic nutrition, supplements intended to destroy cancer cells, and vigorous detoxification of the body. And Kelly divided people into what he called 10 metabolic types, slow oxidizing vegetarians at one extreme and fast oxidizing carnivores at the other. Each person ultimately was different, he asserted, not only in nutritional needs, but also in food utilization. For each of the 10 different metabolic types, a different nutritional program was recommended. An individualized diet was tailored to match the metabolic character of each patient, taking into account his or her physiology, their neurological and physical makeup, basic metabolic rate, and personality. Some common threads ran through the diets, however, and the consumption of raw, organic fruits and vegetables was emphasized, while protein intake was reduced considerably in order to preserve the enzymes needed to digest the fruits and vegetables. In addition to following a diet, Kelly patients also took up to 150 supplemental pills per day, including pancreatic enzymes, vitamins, minerals, concentrates of raw beef or organs and glands, believed by Kelly to contain tissue-specific growth factors and hormones and natural stimulants and protective molecules. Very quickly, an insert here that's not part of the lecture that we're sharing with you. If you go to the Kelly site, Dr. Kelly, that's drkelley.net. At the top of the site, just below the title, is a series of pages. Home, Welcome, The Mission, Dr. Kelly, His Story, Dr. Kelly's Metabolic Typing. That is an interesting one because it will give you the basic written portion of Dr. Kelly's book, which will explain it in great detail exactly what we're covering here today. And, of course, we are still the publisher of Dr. Kelly's books. It was something that was requested me of by the Kelly family and foundation, who I'm still in touch with. The self-test for the different metabolic types, we made that available last year in our four-part series that had been written by Dr. Gonzalez. And it's called the self-test for the different metabolic types. If you go to the site and you just choose to read this article, or you can go elsewhere on the site, I would strongly urge that you order a copy of the self-test for the different metabolic types. It is a astounding book. You will learn much about your own physical needs, your nutritional needs, etc. It ain't for the money, folks. That's not the reason I do it. Never has been. I've been offering Kelly's stuff since 1998 or 99, and I continue to stay very committed to it. Let's return to our commentary. A direct anti-tumor effect has been observed repeatedly in patients on various metabolic therapies who receive enzymes either orally or by injection. But as the enzyme digests the tumor, large amounts of cellular debris are released into the bloodstream and surrounding tissues, according to Kelly. And those breakdown products from cancer cells are foreign to the normal body and could be quite toxic, he maintained. But even though the liver and kidney can filter those substances out of the bloodstream, the waste from tumor destruction forms so quickly during enzyme therapy that the body's normal detoxification processes may become overloaded. And to assist your body in detoxification, Kelly's patients periodically discontinued their enzymes and other supplements for several days, and that was at his instruction. And that rest period, Kelly believed, allowed the liver and the kidneys to catch up with the body's load of tumor byproducts. As a second aid in detoxification, Kelly advised all of his patients to take at least one coffee enema a day. His reasoning was that coffee enemas clean out the liver and the gallbladder, help the body get rid of the toxins produced during your tumor breakdown. During a coffee enema, the caffeine that is rapidly absorbed in the large intestine flows quickly into the liver. Kelly held that in high enough concentrations, caffeine causes the liver and gallbladder to contract vigorously, which then releases large amounts of stored waste into the intestinal tract and greatly aiding the elimination. Kelly also believed that enemas are important in stimulating the immune system, since most waste products eliminated by detoxification are enzyme inhibitors. Frequent enemas prevent the suppression of protein digesting enemas, and those enzymes can break down the cancer cells. Fibrin, protein, coats, making the cancer cells more vulnerable to the immune systems. Non-orthodox doctors, other than Kelly, among them Dr. Max Gerson, have also recommended coffee enemas. I know that doesn't excite you. You don't have to have cancer for the recommendation for coffee enemas. What about just cleansing out your liver and your gallbladder? There's nothing wrong with that. The original Kelly program included purges to cleanse the liver, the gallbladder, intestines, kidneys, and lungs. And like many other metabolic therapists, Kelly believed that the functioning of those organs and gallbladder flushes and controlled sweating accomplished the cleansing tasks. Kelly also recommended some form of manipulative therapy, such as chiropractic adjustment or osteopathic manipulation to stimulate your innervated nerves. Frequently overlooked aspect of the Kelly system was its spiritual component. That's something I don't discuss very often. Kelly was a strange man. He was a strange man to hang around. I traveled with him. Sometimes in my car, I would pick him up and we'd go off to various different functions. Other places he would fly in. We met the producer of our enzymes one time. We met over there. I've got photographs of him in that location here in Tempe, Arizona. They no longer do the work because the father died, the man that Kelly had met some 25 or 30 years before. And I think the sons took it over and they just got greedy and they said, well, we're not going to produce this anymore. We need much, much bigger orders in order to do this. And it's they never understood the commitment that the father had. And those things do happen. They do happen that way. Spiritual component. Kelly called his approach metabolic ecology. He took into account the cancer patient's total environment, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. And he urged the patient to accept the fact that you are afflicted with a symptom of malignant cancer and that recovery is possible. Establish a faith in a power greater than yourself and know that with his help, you can regain health and harmony. Patients were encouraged to conduct a searching self-analysis to eliminate negative behavioral patterns and emotions. My friends, that rigorous Kelly regimen, no, it's not easy. It requires self-discipline, a strong will to alter established dietary and other habits. Some patients experience fear and anxiety during the healing crisis, which involve lymph system swelling pain, fever sometimes. All normal responses, by the way, as the body detoxifies and heals. And yet critics of the system were deeply troubled by the enormous number of pills the patient is required to consume. Orthodox medicine holds that megadoses of vitamins and minerals are unnecessary and can be harmful. Excessive amounts of the fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K are stored in the body and can be toxic, according to mainstream physicians. But then you see, if these mainstream physicians would continue to lose more and more patients to the Kelly program, they wouldn't be getting the kickbacks from Big Pharma now, would they? It was not about money with Kelly. Never was. That's one of the interesting reasons that he and I got along from the very, very beginning. But then you see Kelly proponents counter that the nutritional program supplies various aids to the digestive system, which enabled the large doses of supplements to be absorbed, to be fully utilized. These digestive aids included hydrochloric acid, said to be abnormally low in many people, lessening their ability to digest proteins. Kelly also prescribed a combination of the herb comfrey and the digestive enzyme pepsin. That's P-E-P-S-I-N. And those supplements dissolve the mucus coatings that cover the villi, the finger-like projections of the small intestine, and block the absorption of nutrients. Kelly's theory, you see, that people are genetically carnivorous, vegetarian, or somewhere in between, is rejected by a lot of vegetarians and by others. Some prospective patients were put off by the idea of frequent enemas although Kelly claimed that most of his patients quickly adapted to that procedure. In fact, many patients on metabolic therapy programs have reported a dramatic increase in energy and improved outlook after a coffee enema, presumably because of the elimination of the toxins from the bloodstream, the cells, the liver. And those procedures appeared to calm, to soothe the nervous system, dispelling nausea, irritability, lethargy, lack of appetite, sometimes even severe pain. Pat Judson, a woman from Dearborn, Michigan, became Kelly's patient in 1972. She had been operated on for cancer of the colon 2 years earlier. At the time of the writing that I'm sharing with you, which is 1993, she was in excellent health, completely cancer-free after her original diagnosis of incurable cancer. And as she told the Michigan State Legislature Committee investigating alternative cancer treatments in 1977, she says, "I speak as a cancer patient who 7 years ago was sent home to die by a doctor who told me there was nothing more traditional medicine could do for me. And one of the doctors that performed my surgery told me that I had the fastest growing type known to man, and cobalt or chemotherapy would not help her." Expressing surprise, she continued that I even survived the surgery. He told me I had 6 months, maybe a year to live. And I was given distilbestrol, or DES, for hormone balance, since they had also removed her ovaries. Pat Judson said, "I've wondered many times why a medical doctor would prescribe a cancer-producing drug to a cancer patient." End of quote. In January of 1972, almost 2 years after her original surgery, Pat had a recurrence of the blockage of her colon. The cancer had metastasized to the lymph glands. And reluctant to go through the ordeal of surgery a second time, she turned to a different doctor who advised her that she might survive possibly 3 months with surgery. And at that point, she heard of the nutritional therapy of Dr. Kelly and went to visit him down in Texas. And after taking a blood sample and conducting diagnostic tests that were subjected to computer analysis, Kelly determined that Pat had a cancer index of 600. Now, that's a scale devised by Kelly to gauge the body's ability to defend itself. It ran from an optimal 1, or normal, to a 1,000. That's terminal, beyond help. Her index was a 600. And following those tests, Kelly prescribed a combination of diet, rest, exercise, and detoxification. And when Pat Judson returned to Kelly's office 5 months later for a checkup, her index rating had dropped to 300. Her cancer was under control. And 11 months after the initial visit with Kelly, a shriveled mass of excreted material was found to be necrotic, or dead. Tissue from the colon tumor. And Pat's next cancer index reading with Kelly was 50, which is within the normal range. You see, standard diagnostic tests subsequently confirmed her to be in remission. And Pat's first operation in 1970, her surgeon had noticed a lump in her throat that she had had since girlhood. He said it might have been a leader for the cancer. But as Pat continued on the Kelly maintenance protocols after being diagnosed in remission, she also took Essiac, the Canadian herbal tea that has helped so many cancer patients. By 1978, the lump in Pat's throat was completely gone, and it had never returned. Now, there are, my friends, some practitioners who strongly advise against combining the Kelly program with Essiac or any other herbal remedy. They contend that the herbs work against the enzyme supplements. Pat Judson served as president of the Metro Detroit chapter of the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, or FACT, in which capacity she told a Michigan State Legislature committee, if I had accepted the advice of my doctor, if I had not been directed to Dr. Kelly, I would be another cancer statistic. And in her speech, she also rebuked the medical establishment for its constant harassment of Kelly. You see, Kelly's problems with the medical orthodoxy intensified in 1969 when he self-published his book, One Answer to Cancer, which became a bestseller in the nutritional underground. The dietary program presented in the book was a distillation of his personal battle against the illness. In 1964, Kelly was told by his doctor that he had metastasized pancreatic cancer, one of the deadliest forms of the disease, and he had but weeks to live. Of course, there was no biopsy verification for his cancer. His internist recommended surgery, but the surgeon felt that Kelly wouldn't survive the operation. Well, with nothing to lose, Kelly, who held a doctorate of dental surgery, DDS, from Baylor University in Dallas, and had extensive background in nutrition, began his own impromptu course of nutritional therapy and lifestyle changes. That has much to do with that four-part series that we aired last year. The four-part program is available at no cost to you through the archives at RBN. Also, I might even invite you to, if you care to do so, send me an email through the Kelly site. It is victory. I have to look and see. I blanked. That's terrible. I all of a sudden I'm blanking on my email. Well, a bunch of you've got my emails, you know, no big deal, but it's no, I can't even pull it up on the page I'm on. So yes I can. No, I can't. Oh God, it's driving me crazy. My goodness. Yes, victory@drkelly.net. If you want to send me a request, it costs you nothing. I will send you the links for that four-part series, and you'll be able to go into RBN directly and grab those. Believe me, it's well worth listening to. So, keep this in mind, that with nothing to lose after Kelly was told that he was going to kick the bucket, Kelly, who, as we mentioned, held a doctorate of dental surgery from Baylor in Dallas, he did have extensive background in nutrition. And as the book One Answer to Cancer soared in popularity, Texas medical and legal officials launched an investigation of its author in 1969. Oh, undercover officials posed as patients. A restraining order prohibited Kelly from treating non-dental disease, and a local district court made it illegal for him to distribute the book One Answer to Cancer or any other publication discussing his approach to degenerative illness. Kelly appealed the decision to the United States Supreme Court, arguing that the restraining order was a flagrant violation of his First Amendment rights. But the Supreme Court upheld the ruling. Dr. Gonzalez stated that, to his knowledge, Kelly remained the only scientist in this country's history ever forbidden by the court decree from publishing. 1971. The American Cancer Society put Kelly's therapy on its unproven methods blacklist, where it, I am told, remains to this day. No ACS scientist has ever attempted a direct, objective evaluation of Kelly's methods and results. Oh, and by the way, after the Texas Dental Board suspended his license for 5 years in 1976, Kelly moved to Winthrop, Washington, where he continued his nutritional practice. He later moved to Pennsylvania. Let me share something with you. As I just stated, that American Cancer Society in 1971 put Kelly's therapy on its unproven methods. And then in 1976, the Texas Dental Board suspended his license. It becomes oh so interesting to me that over the years I have met people who were trained by Kelly. I have met doctors who were totally amazed. Many of them were trained by Kelly privately, quietly. There's a doctor that I have become fairly close with who became an ardent listener to this program whenever he can, not just the Wednesday night programs, but he and his family really enjoyed the Friday night music programs we were doing. And he and his wife and the four college-age kids would all get together for dinner at home, and in the kitchen they'd have the tunes on and blah, 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 blah. But that doctor apparently had some cancer of his own. But because of curiosity, he ordered Kelly's books and devoured them over and over and over again. His issues have cleared up. He said it is simply amazing to him. And so with Kelly, even having been gone now for, my God, almost 20 years, 18 years, his work continues. By the way, for those of you who may or may not be aware of it, Kelly's most highly publicized encounter with the medical establishment began in 1980 when he agreed to treat actor Steve McQueen, who was suffering from advanced mesothelioma, a rare, nearly always fatal form of lung cancer. McQueen's malignancy was too extensive for surgery. His terminal condition was completely hopeless. But nevertheless, on Kelly's advice, McQueen entered a small Mexican hospital where doctors claimed to use the Kelly program. McQueen never followed the full Kelly protocol. He continued to smoke. He smuggled junk food into his room. And even so, after 8 weeks on a partial Kelly program, his tumor had stopped growing. He no longer felt a need for painkillers. He had begun to put on weight. And his doctors expressed some cause for optimism. Now, unfortunately, McQueen eventually discontinued the program. He died in November of 1980, just hours after undergoing surgery to remove an apparently dead tumor mass in his abdomen. It is the intent of this editor, this broadcaster, to publish some long-ago forgotten taped interviews of Kelly wherein he discusses his treatment and relationship with McQueen. All conducted prior to and after the actor's death. At some point, my friends, I hope to provide this important data. Ongoing studies of Kelly's work are important to history, or in this case, his story. I've had some requests for some of Kelly's recordings, and they're all on tape. I've got to find the time to get my studio 100% back up and operational in the manner that I need it so that I can begin to transfer these audio cassette tapes in through my mixing board. They'll need a little bit of editing, but I can also include the sound quality. I've probably got a good dozen or so recordings of Kelly that I'd like to be able to make available. And when I make them available, there will be no cost to them. They'll be made available through the website. So wish me well on that project. Well, so we lose McQueen. And the ensuing publicity triggered a media assault on Kelly organized by the American medical community. Spokesman for the ACS, the NCI, leading medical schools, condemned Kelly and his methods vociferously without ever bothering to examine the true details of McQueen's treatment. Kelly claimed a high success rate with patients on his therapy. And for those with a predicated life expectancy or predicted life expectancy of about 3 months, he said that a well-designed nutritional program would lead slightly better than a 50-50 chance of survival. And for those with a very advanced disease, given less than 3 months to live, he claimed a success rate of between 25 and 35%. And yet those figures, according to the author, have not been verified, should be treated with caution. And yet, according to Ruth Sackman, executive director of FACT, an educational organization that leans toward a nutritional metabolic approach, she said that enough of Kelly's patients live 10 years or more to suggest that a pattern of survival and to indicate that he was using a basically sound system. That's pretty profound. In Kelly's elaborate system of diagnosis and treatment, patients answered a detailed questionnaire, a nutritional survey consisting of up to 3,200 questions. The results were assessed by computer. Each patient was then fitted into Kelly's classification system of metabolic typing, which he used in treating a wide variety of diseases. And to understand Kelly's metabolic typing system, we're going to review quickly the ABCs of metabolism. The human body has two nervous systems, the central nervous system, or CNS, which regulates conscious movement, and the autonomic nervous system, or ANS, which governs unconscious actions such as digestion, the secretion of enzymes and hormones, and breathing and blood circulation and heartbeat. That's all included. And the ANS plays a key role in the way that cells transform food into energy. Now, there's two branches of the ANS. There is the sympathetic system, which tends to speed up body metabolism, and the parasympathetic system, which slows down your metabolism. Kelly's thesis was that people can be divided into three genetically based categories that evolved in distinctive environments under evolutionary pressure. Each metabolic type reflects an inborn balance in the activities of those two subsystems. According to Kelly, people who were slow oxidizing or sympathetic dominant types thrive on high carbonate, low protein foods meant to eat a largely vegetarian diet. Fast oxidizing parasympathetic dominants grew hungry and weak between meals. So Kelly suggested that they follow a diet providing at least half of their total calories from fatty meat, steaks, you know, pork chops, stuff like that. And then there's the balance types, having both branches of the autonomic nervous system equally developed, were said to thrive on a wide variety of foods. And if a person follows the wrong diet, in Kelly's theory, disease is more likely to develop. And for each of the three basic types, broken down into 10 metabolic subtypes, he recommended a diet that would push the autonomic nervous system toward metabolic equilibrium. And furthermore, he linked specific syndromes and illnesses with each of the three types. Hard tumors, malignancies of the internal organs such as lung or colon cancer were held to be more likely to afflict severely imbalanced sympathetic dominance. And soft tumors, cancers of the white blood cells and lymph system, they were linked with parasympathetic dominance. Now, I know a lot of this is just going over your heads. Believe me, stay with me here. Once again, it's among the reasons we strongly recommend Kelly's book, The Self-Test for the Different Metabolic Types. It no longer requires that you do this 3,200 question thing and have to go wait for the computer, blah, 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 blah. He narrowed all of that down into a book format. It's exceedingly affordable. It's less than $50 delivered. And yet, you can go out and find places that'll do electronic metabolic typing tests and charge you $1,500 for one go around. Kelly's book will allow you to resubmit yourself and retake the test up to five times. Things begin to change in your diet and physically the way you feel. You go back and take a test and see where there's room for improvement. Now let's talk about Nick Gonzalez for a second. Gonzalez, the New York City physician, mentioned at the beginning of which we'd mentioned earlier in the program. He used a modified Kelly program, and he visited Kelly in Texas in 1981, given access to all of Kelly's records. Gonzalez was amazed to discover case after case of patients with advanced metastatic cancer who were healthy and active 5, 10, and 15 years after their diagnosis. And so Gonzalez interviewed 455 Kelly patients in depth, and then he narrowed down the group to 160 after eliminating the patients who he considered inadequately diagnosed, or maybe others who had received intensive orthodox therapy, others who had been apparently cured of their disease before they consulted Kelly, and even others who did not meet the selection criteria. And eventually Gonzalez selected 50 patients whom he considered representative cases rather than Kelly's best cases. And those 50 patients represented a broad spectrum of cancer types, including long-term survivors of cancer of the breast, the colon, ovaries, the pancreas, the prostate. And according to Gonzalez's findings, 22 of the patients experienced documented regression of cancer while pursuing the Kelly program. And none in that group received orthodox therapy during that period of improvement. Another 5 patients describe regression of superficial and biopsy-proven malignancies like breast cancers or cancerous lymph nodes, but they never returned to their orthodox physicians for follow-up studies. And 6 patients were found at surgery to have extensive inoperable abdominal or pelvic disease, such as metastatic pancreatic or prostate carcinoma. All of those patients had been given terminal prognosis. None had ever returned to their orthodox physician. So strictly speaking, maybe he had no proof of tumor regression, although each of those people had survived for years with cancer that usually kills within months. As we all know, pancreatic cancer is one of the deadliest forms of the disease. And the 5-year survival rate in orthodox medicine is essentially 0%. Gonzalez reviewed the records of all 22 patients whom Kelly had diagnosed with pancreatic cancer between 1974 and 82. 5 of those 22 patients followed the Kelly program completely. And their median survival at the time of Gonzalez's study in 1987 was 9 years. 4 out of the 5 were still alive. In 2003, one had passed of Alzheimer's disease. That is a 100% remission rate for those who adhere to the full Kelly regimen. And the 10 patients with pancreatic cancer who never followed the treatment had a median survival time of 67 days. 7 who partially followed the program had a median survival time of 233 days. And those reported results are virtually unheard of in conventional treatment, people, not to this day. Orthodox medicine gives a median survival time of 2 to 6 months for pancreatic cancer. And that doesn't count those who probably go home and just commit suicide. One of Kelly's patients who Gonzalez investigated was Robert Dunn. A 62-year-old man from Missouri diagnosed with inoperable pancreatic cancer in June of 77. The formal diagnosis, as it appears on his medical records, reads carcinoma of the pancreas, unresectable, incurable. And although his traditional physician recommended both chemotherapy and radiation, Bunn was told he would probably not live a year, even with aggressive treatment. And so refusing both options, he took a brief course of Laetrile in Mexico and then consulted Kelly, and in August of 1977 began the full Kelly protocol. And within a year, Dunn said he felt better than at any other time in his life. And a follow-up CAT scan indicated that the once large pancreatic tumor had completely regressed. Exploratory surgery in 1983 to remove a small bowel obstruction further confirmed that the tumor was gone. And when last contacted by Dr. Gonzalez more than 10 years after his original diagnosis, Donnie was following a maintenance protocol and was in excellent health. And so Gonzalez continued. And he treated advanced cancer patients with a Kelly-derived program. And in Gonzalez's time, he kept careful records of his own patients, also monitored many of Kelly patients who had survived 10 years or more. And Gonzalez claimed that approximately 80% of his patients were doing well on his therapy. And most of the patients have already been heavily treated with surgery and radiation or chemo, and having failed all those modalities, they came to Gonzalez with a prognosis of 2 to 3 months to live. In May of 1985, doctors removed roughly 10 pounds of tumor from one Bonnie Randolph, a clinical psychologist from Bala-Cynwyd, Pennsylvania. And they also performed a total hysterectomy, and Bonnie's ovarian cancer had grown silently for 8 years, according to her doctors, and had spread to her abdominal organs. And the survival rates in such cases were less than 20%. And over the next year, Bonnie underwent 8 courses of chemotherapy and 2 more major operations, all of which failed to eradicate the cancer. By the 4th chemotherapy treatment, her bone marrow was suppressed to such an extent that her white blood count had plunged from a normal of 4,000 to less than 100. And after the 2nd major surgery in March of 1986, her doctor injected a massive dose of radioactive phosphorus into her abdomen, which he said would be my quota of radiation for the rest of my life. That according to Donna, or Bob, I'm sorry, Bonnie. 6 ovarian cancer specialists then told her that despite the radiation treatment, she had a year to live. Well, Bonnie told her remarkable moving story in the November 1991 issue of East West and began investigating alternative therapies through a cancer referral service. And she said, I had known that there were cancer survivors who had beaten the odds by using non-traditional forms of treatment. What I did not know that there was so many of them that they were doing so damn well. And she became a patient of Dr. Kelly. And her CA-125, a standard medical test for ovarian cancer, dropped from 29 to 11. A reading above 35 indicates tumor growth, by the way. Her pelvic exams were negative, but Kelly abruptly moved away into semi-retirement. And a few months later, the ovarian cancer returned. And her conventional doctor insisted that Bonnie undergo radiation once more, even though it would not save her life. When Bonnie refused to submit her body to more damage from radiation therapy, her doctor became incensed. You'll be dead in 2 months, he yelled at her over the phone. And for the next 2 months, Bonnie followed a strict nutritional program, which she believes kept her alive while searching for a responsible alternative practitioner. And in January of 1988, began the Kelly-derived program with Dr. Gonzalez in New York. And he warned her that it could be years before she became completely well again because of all the damage the chemo and the radiation had done to her immune system. But under Gonzalez's supervision, Bonnie followed an organic vegetarian diet, one of the 10 diets described in the book, and took massive doses of pancreatic enzymes, nutritional supplements, and coffee enemas. And by 2003, when this piece I'm sharing with you was written, more than 6 years after her initial diagnosis, Bonnie was still alive, free of pain, writing a book about her experience, and her last 3 pap smears were normal. And although she still has evidence of cancer and works hard to maintain good health, she keeps the cancer under control with a maintenance protocol of pancreatic enzymes, supplements, sound nutrition, and hopes to achieve complete remission. And the Gonzalez regimen requires discipline, she reflected. But this was a small price to pay for having the chance to live out my life. And implementing the program is in my hands, so I feel that I'm in command of my health care. In a review of the Gonzalez study published in a leading insurance industry journal, Robert Maver, Vice President and Research Director of Mutual Benefit Life, stated that, quote, the research division has been evaluating Dr. Gonzalez's results over the last 4 months, including numerous site visits. The results are indeed extraordinary. And this is a prime example of an innovative therapy that merits evaluation, but is just being ignored. And as costly as cancer is to our industry, and in light of such promising and cost-effective preliminary results, our industry should consider funding such a trial. Copy. Richard Walters from his book, Options, the Alternative Cancer Therapy book, published in 1993. My friends, as of the original date of the time that I posted this article, originally I posted this article May 14th of 2001 on the website that I originally developed for Dr. Kelly. Kelly had long since come out of his self-imposed exile. He was once again active in teaching people how to take responsibility for their own diseases and maladies. This site, drkelly.net, to this day is dedicated to promoting the work and the protocols of Kelly's proven paradigm. For those of you who may not be aware, and I'm sure you are, in 2001, Dr. Kelly updated his original book, One Answer to Cancer, with a new title. It was called Cancer Cure and the Incurable, Without Surgery, Chemotherapy, or Radiation. Well, unfortunately, the FDA put a kibosh on that because, well, we can't talk about curing cancer. All the medical community does is treats it because that's where all the bucks are. Well, in the fall of 2015, when I was doing the renovation of my son's house, after 2+ years of rigorous editing and reformation, Kettle Moraine Limited, myself, working on behalf of the Kelly Estate, issued a restored, updated, and expanded version of Kelly's seminal treatise on cancer. The title, of course, became Victory Over Cancer, Without Surgery, Chemotherapy, or Radiation. And inclusive within that book is not only a restoration of pertinent information which had been excluded from the 2001 and 2005 versions. I strongly invite you, order yourself a copy of Victory Over Cancer, if for no other reason, so you can share the book with others who may happen to have cancer, or so that you can get a better understanding of cancer, how it's treated, how it is acquired. Yeah, well, as I mentioned, this book or this article we share with you now, we originally published on Dr. Kelly, what's now drkelly.net, on May the 14th, 2001. And all these years later, it still says so much. It is still so powerful. Both of Kelly's books can be ordered through me. Yeah, you can buy them on Amazon. Somehow people lie to me that I'll send them one or two books, whatever, and they put them on Amazon for $200-$300 a piece. They like to claim they've got 50 or 60 used copies. That's all a bunch of crap. And then for new ones, it's $175 an op. It's stupid. If you go to the Kelly site, drkelly.net, you'll see a little page, a little link right near the top that says the bookstore. You've got a couple of options, either Victory Over Cancer, or the self-test for the different metabolic types, or you can order the package and it'll get you a discount. You can pay for it through PayPal, or you can send me an email, get me your name, your address, etc. If you'd rather send me a check, rock and roll. Okay? Things are going on with PayPal that I'm not real happy with right now, so we'll take care of it. You can always give me a call. Also, send me the email. Victory@drkelly.net, request the archives of those programs we talked about, the four-part series we did on Gonzalez, and I'll also send you a couple of other things out there. There's no charge. It ain't about money, folks. We're about out of time. Time for a little bit of Ella. Thank you so much. I hope this has been a beneficial program for you, as we always do on Wednesday nights. With glass lifted on high, I say, to health with you. Good night.
It brings back a night of tropical splendor. brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more under the stars, and down by the shore an orchestra's playing, and even the they begin the beginning. To live it again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. Divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. So don't let suddenly know what heaven we're in when they begin the beginning. When they begin the beginning.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.